give any type of presentation, and so I'll go ahead and start with Vice Chair Representative Osterman.
I'm Alan Osterman from Kodiak Island, which is basically District 6, and most of you know me already. I've sat on the ATMC Council for a while, so.
And I'm Representative James from North Pole. I think you probably all know who I am, too, as a strong proponent of tourism and associated activities.
Representative Brian Porter from Midtown Anchorage, District 20, and share the views of the previous two speakers.
Great. Well, what I'd like to do is start off by, with our committee here, I'm trying to make it as geographic as possible so we can have statewide representation. And one of the ideas and format of how we'd like to conduct this committee is I'm going to be calling in different agencies statewide to get testimony regarding what they have done in the past and bring up any goals or any plans that they have for the future. And I would like to just get a general overview from the different agencies on what they have done statewide and see what kind of plans we have for tourism statewide coming up to date to fiscal year 95. I know the planning here is rather complicated, but I expect it to go really well. And I know our state is so large, it's very hard to get representation statewide. And what I'd like to do is start off going over the agenda here, and today it's just an overview from AVA, and if there are other members here from other agencies who would like to share some information with the committee, I would really appreciate that. And I do have a sign-in sheet for those of you if you'd like to please sign in. If you'd like to give some overview to the committee here, it would really be helpful. And just for the record, if we can go around the room here and have each person introduce themselves and let us know who or what agency you're with. So I'll start off with my right here. If you can just state your name and...
Thank you. Ken Dole. I'm one of the ABA Board of Directors.
Okay.
My name is Rod Bradley. I'm with Bradley Reed Communications, which is the advertising agency responsible for the marketing program for the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council.
Oh, great.
And Judy Garrity, I'm with Representative Cott. I'm sitting for him.
Okay.
Nancy Klinsky with Mark Air.
Wonderful.
I'm John Litton from Sitka, and I'm with the AVA Board as well as the Marketing Council.
Okay.
Paula Conley with Representative Kelly's office.
Royce Weller with OMB.
Wonderful. And
I'm Molly Schumann, I'm with the Alaska Environmental Lobby.
I'm Linda Anderson, I lobby for AVA.
Katerina Bennett, I'm staff for Representative Robinson, and she apologizes for not being able to attend today. She has another committee conflict.
Thank you.
Tina Lindgren, I'm the executive director of AVA.
John Binkley from Fairbanks, and I'm the current president of the Alaska Visitors Association, and we have a tour operation in Fairbanks as well.
Okay.
And I'm Ben Brewer. I'm with the National Bank of Alaska out of Anchorage.
Kathy Dunbar. I'm from the Mattsu Valley, and I'm here attending the AVA meeting, and I also sit on the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm Wayne Maloney with Representative Barnes' staff, and I'm also a staff aide to the World Trade Committee.
Dave Stancliffe. I'm the committee staff person for Representative Mattsu.
Well, I thank you all for showing up today, and I appreciate all of your introductions. It's really nice to get to know who is all so interested in tourism, and with it being one of the state's largest, as I can foresee in the future, we're going to be leaning more and more toward tourism, and I really would like to get more input from other people as well. So I'm going to start off with having John Binkley step up to the chair here and give a presentation, and after you're done with your presentation, we'll have committee members here who have any questions or whatever. We'll be following that procedure, so we won't interrupt you. So you have the floor here if you want to go ahead and let us know of ABA.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the opportunity to come before the committee and give a little overview on the Alaska Visitors Association. I'll give you a little bit of background, and some may be familiar with all the different aspects of ABA and ATMC and DOT, and some may be new to that, so I'll kind of go over it in an overview of all those different aspects, and then it may be knowledge that some of you have and some of you don't, so I'll try and be brief with it. But the Alaska Visitors Association is a nonprofit organization that is made up of people in the industry. It's people who are interested in tourism, business people who contribute their own money to the association to further the goals that they have in promoting tourism in Alaska. It was originally formed in the early 1950s, actually about 1950. Some of the people who were involved in the industry, including my parents at the time, felt that it was important to have a statewide organization to start working towards bringing more people up to Alaska rather than just promoting their own individual businesses. And so they formed the Alaska Visitors Association. It struggled along in the early years with a very minimal amount of marketing. The state of Alaska, in the early 60s after statehood, the state got involved in marketing tourism and started to spend some money on destination marketing of marketing Alaska outside. They formed a partnership in the 70s when they felt it was beneficial to have the input from the private sector and some of the money from the private sector, along with the state money, to combine those efforts to market the state and bring people up to Alaska. That was really formalized in legislation in 1987 with the formation of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council. That council is made up of 11 members, basically, who are appointed by the governor, and 10 members that come from the private sector. And those 21 members decide what the marketing plan should be for the state of Alaska to generically market Alaska to bring people up to the state and to get them interested in traveling to Alaska. There's public dollars, state dollars that are associated with that, and there are private dollars. Right now the percentages are 75% state dollars, 25% industry dollars, and those monies are determined how to spend by that 21 member council that comes from the private sector and from the state government side. It's been extremely successful, and it really has been a program that's been the envy of other states around the country. Because you have the strength of the funding of the state, but you also have the participation of the private sector, who has their own money involved in it, and who brings to the table, to the council, expertise in marketing. And they are driven by results. Unlike some government agencies where it's simply a question of getting your annual appropriation and spending the money, in the private sector side, if you don't produce results with your marketing dollars, you're not in business anymore. And they're continually looking at the results that they get from the monies that are spent in that program. And as a consequence, you get an efficient use of those dollars and how they're spent. And we're very, very proud of the program. We think it's very successful. Unfortunately, the funding was dramatically cut this last year. And there are several different ways that we go about marketing the state. But one of the most important ones is the image advertising, where we create in people's mind a desire to travel to Alaska. And then there are other mechanisms that we go about to convert that desire or that image of Alaska, to convert that into an interest where they actually take an action to get some information about Alaska, and then where we actually sell them on coming to Alaska. But what we've had to do as the budget has been cut is we've had to virtually eliminate all of that image marketing. And the way we do that primarily is through television. Similar to probably how all of you went through your campaigns last fall, you know how important television is in reaching your constituents or your markets. And this year, for the first time in years and years, we will virtually be off the television. The screen will be blank when it comes to people making their decision about where to travel. And it may not hurt us so much in the short run as it does in the long run. It's very similar to a farmer planting the seeds. You have to plant those seeds and nurture them before you actually can harvest the product. And the image advertising is what plants the seeds in people's minds and gets them interested in traveling to Alaska. And when we stop doing that, pretty soon we don't have a crop the next year that's going to be coming up. And so we're very, very concerned about that. We've spoken to the governor during the course of the campaign. He has indicated that he's going to introduce a supplemental to try and get some money back into the budget so that we can get back on the air this spring and start planting some of those seeds, if you will, in people's minds so that we don't have that dip in the growth of tourism. It's been growing steadily, about 8.1% over the last 5 years has been the rate of growth for the industry. It produces a tremendous amount of economic activity. Like any other industry, a lot of that economic activity, the overall expenditure of it, goes to areas outside of Alaska. Of course, when people buy a ticket in Des Moines, Iowa to fly up to Alaska, or they drive their motorhome up to Alaska, you know, some of those expenses that they expend in the course of that are spent in places outside of Alaska. But it's an industry that brings a tremendous amount of the percentage of that into the state and in the employment in the state. We're proud of the fact that 84% of the people that are hired in the industry are Alaskans. And it provides job opportunities to young people, people who are working their way through college in many cases, just getting started. It gives them an entree into an industry in which they can proceed up the ladder. We have a great example, many great examples really in the industry of people who have started out. One that comes to mind is was a young fellow who went to the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, was a baggage handler there working his way through college for a major tour company, worked his way right up through the ranks and is now the president of Princess Tours, and that's Ray Pedersen. And there are many other examples in the industry of people who have worked their way up through large companies to become major participants in those. Also, it's a industry that offers a lot of opportunity for small operations, for people who don't have a lot of capital that want to do work for themselves to get started in the business. There are literally hundreds of bed and breakfast operations around the state of Alaska who have maybe invested a little bit of money in modifying their homes, taking guests in. It's something their whole family can work at, and it produces a lot of income for that family in that community. In our family operation, we have 21 members in our family, 19 of which work in the business, and we're very proud of that. It's a very family-oriented business. The two that don't work in the business are both under 5 years old, but we anticipate that they'll join the business soon. So I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I feel very blessed to have been born into the business as my parents started in 1950, and I've really grown up with it. And it's a great industry. It's a lot of fun. It's, of course, always fun to be in an industry that's growing and expanding, but it's also fun because it's serving people, and people genuinely have a good time. They come up here and they want to see Alaska, and when you take the time and the effort to show them your home, and show them what's beautiful about Alaska, they're very, very appreciative of it. And that's one of the things that makes it very rewarding to work in this industry. And I've kind of rambled on. I don't know if I've answered any of your questions.
That's great. I have to call a brief recess. We have more people at the door here. Maybe we can move around here a bit to accommodate another order of business here. So, does that conclude most of your presentation, Mr. Binkley?
That's it, Madam Chair. And if there's any questions, I'd love to be able to try and answer them.
Okay. Representative Bostrom?
Yeah, thanks for coming, John. I guess the biggest question is going to come back again this year on the taxation issues that we addressed last year. And, of course, I was on the other side addressing it. Is ABA and ATMC at the same, or the industry still at the same position they were before? They're willing to place the taxes on the table, but need to look at the impact of the Constitution, the amendment?
Well, the concern is, you know, right now the industry feels like it pays or it contributes a substantial amount to the general fund. There are revenues that have been estimated as high as $52 million that are contributed back into the state coffers. True, some of that goes to the Alaska Marine Highway System, some to the Alaska Railroad, some to the airport funds. But there are significant revenues that are generated as a result of the industry that go back into government. Not only the state government, but local government particularly. Bed taxes in most of the communities around the state. City property taxes in virtually every community in the state, as well as sales taxes in some communities. And that generates a tremendous amount of revenue for local governments at that level. Just corporate income taxes alone from the visitor industry is well over $5 million that comes back in directly into the general fund. So there are revenues that are coming back into the state funds, or into the state general fund. Those revenues have been increasing over the years. Every year when the visitor industry grows, the amount of revenue that comes back into the general fund grows as well. And what we've seen over the last several years is, even though the contribution back to the general fund has been growing, the budget for marketing has been being cut back. So it causes us concern when we see that happening, that if we speak about additional revenues that we might generate from the industry going to the general fund, that those might not necessarily translate into additional marketing dollars. And that's been our experience in many of the local communities in dealing with our convention and visitor bureaus. For an example, in Fairbanks, I served on the Convention and Visitor Bureau board there. When the bed tax was first initiated, the industry supported it because 100% of those revenues were going to go back into marketing Fairbanks. And the visitor industry said, this is a good idea. Let's tax ourselves, raise the money so we can go out and market Fairbanks, bring more people into Fairbanks. Well, what has happened over time is that covenant, so to speak, with the city council has been lost, and of course there's new members that come and go on the city council, and now we're down to about 55% of the bed tax dollars going towards marketing. And so that's been the experience of many of us on the local level, and when we start talking about taxes or raising revenues at the state level, we're concerned about that same thing happening there, that we'll come forward, offer up a revenue proposal or support a revenue proposal, and then it will just go into the black hole of the general fund and it won't necessarily translate into more marketing. And so what our approach has been is that we would be supportive of measures to raise additional revenue, but we would like to see some assurance that those monies would go back into marketing. And the only real true assurance or mechanism that there is for an assurance that those monies would go back into marketing would be an amendment to the Constitution. And the reality of that is pretty tough. People are very hesitant to dedicate revenues in the state, and probably wisely so in the drafting of the Constitution. They wanted to make sure that the legislature had as much flexibility as possible in determining where those monies should be spent. They didn't want to lock the legislature into simply having money come in and go out automatically. So our position has been that we would be supportive of taxes, but we would have to have a constitutional amendment to be able to protect those to go into marketing.
Is there any other questions?
It's kind of a long answer to your question, Alan.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We've had this discussion many different times, and I guess that one of the things I see that tourism doesn't pay for, you mentioned ARRC and the Marine Highway and Airport. I guess that I would take issue that, yes, there's a lot of monies that go in there, but yes, that's services provided, mm-hmm. and that if you didn't need to provide the services, you wouldn't need the money, sort of. In other words, mm-hmm. I don't think that's an extra money. It is something that runs through the coffers, and we like that. But the corporate income tax is certainly an issue. one of the things that concerns me is the services that we have to provide for tourism that are extended, and that is like road services, emergency services, public safety, and those issues on our highways. And there is, last time we had an amendment supposedly for the Constitution, which would have set up a dedicated fund for transportation needs. And I would tend to support such an issue. It's not politically advisable to get involved in that at this day and time, but sometime in the future I might be willing to do that. If that were the case and there were a dedicated fund for the highway issue, would you be opposed to additional fuel taxes that we might be able to impose, which would directly affect the visitor industry?
Are you saying fuel taxes that would go to highway maintenance?
Yes.
Boy, I'd have to go back to the board, and that would be a board position that they'd have to come up with. I think that it's important to the visitor industry that the highways are well maintained, and we're certainly supportive of adequate maintenance and upgrading of the highways, and if that requires more money to be able to do that, I think we'd be willing to help raise that however we could. If that's through additional fuel taxes, I think you'd probably find the visitor industry supportive of that if they knew that was going to go back into maintaining those highways.
I have a question. Is AVA happy with the direction the state has taken with the dollars into marketing so far?
Well, the marketing, I guess there's two different. One thing I didn't really mention was, or spend too much time on, was the Division of Tourism, which is a state entity in the Department of Commerce that has marketing responsibilities. And they market primarily the international markets. They do marketing overseas to bring international visitors to Alaska. They do developmental markets. And they have a lot of other functions. It'd probably be better to have them come up and testify before your committee on all the different aspects that they work on. But then the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council is the entity that Alaska Visitors Association is directly involved with. And they do the domestic marketing, and AVA is very happy with the direction that the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council is going. We're supportive of them, we participate in that, and we think they're headed in the right direction. The Division of Tourism, we understand that they have a vital role to play in bringing more visitors to Alaska from other destinations or other areas, and we're supportive of them in the missions that they have. But we really don't have an opportunity to participate in how they actually spend their money. That's a function of the Department of Commerce, ultimately, and that division. So we don't get involved in how they decide to spend the money within the department, but we're supportive of the things that they do.
Okay. And in my district, there are many complaints about foreign and statewide investors who are using and selling Alaska, but they're leaving with little income to the state in return. And do you have any idea on how we can get them to pay their fair share in Alaska? Because, for instance, out on near the Deshka River out by Lake Clark area, there's many foreign investors who have lodges put up, and they pay in out of country to come to Alaska. So when they come here, they spend very little, and they leave with practically everything. I mean, they leave with boxes and boxes of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any way, any ideas you might be able to share with this committee on foreign people owning lodges, whatever, in Alaska, who travel here and they don't really pay in Alaska? They do all of their booking out of the country.
You know, that's not an issue that we've really looked at that carefully. It hasn't been one that's really come to AVA's attention or one that we've addressed. And frankly, I hadn't even been aware of until you just mentioned it now. But I can understand why that would be a concern, particularly the people that live out in that area. If they see the properties, the good properties, the lodges that are located in the right spots for fishing are going to foreign investors, and people come in the summertime and rent them and leave, and there's not much that's left for the local community. And it's not an issue that I've really looked at that carefully or thought much about, but I'll certainly give it some thought.
I'm sure would appreciate it.
Now, there is an issue that some people sometimes raise about foreign investment by larger companies. For example, two of the largest cruise ship companies that come to Alaska are Holland America Line West Tours and Princess Tours. Both of them are owned by, well, Princess Tours is owned by a British company. And Holland America Line West Tours is owned by Carnival, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And is Carnival, I don't know if they're
Carnival,
based out of New York.
No, Carnival is a Panamanian company.
Okay, so they're both foreignly held companies. But those companies, you know, the capital investment that's necessary to bring the kind of product that they have or offer the kind of product that they have in Alaska is tremendous. One of those cruise ships nowadays costs about $260 million. And there aren't realistically any entities in Alaska, any local companies that can afford that kind of capital investment. Anytime you buy one of the new motor coaches, it's $250,000 at least. A hotel that Princess Tours just built in Fairbanks, $20 million. There are very few companies and people in Alaska that can afford that kind of capital investment. And have the infrastructure necessary to bring those volumes of people up to Alaska and move them throughout Alaska. And so it's probably like any other resource industry, whether it be the oil industry or mining or timber or even fishing. There's a lot of foreign investment that comes in to provide the capital to be able to utilize those resources. But there is a tremendous benefit to the local economies from those large cruise ship companies bringing people in. You know, when they build a hotel in Fairbanks for $20 million, all local construction people who worked on that project, all the service staff that work in that hotel year-round are all Fairbanks residents. If they hire those people year-round, they bring people in. Some of those people we're able to take out on our riverboat, some out to our gold mine operation. There's local people who drive the motor coaches, who are mechanics, who repair those motor coaches. They buy their parts at the local auto parts store in Fairbanks. And there's a huge economic benefit that is generated throughout our community by those people making that capital investment. Property taxes on their hotels pays a big part of our property taxes in our community. The utilities that they utilize help support our utility system. So There's a large benefit from those foreign investors that come into our community that we're pleased to have.
Okay. Representative Osterman, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit, John.
Okay.
The amount of foreign visitors that come to the state of Alaska last year was about 16% compared to what the domestic market is. The Division of Tourism, I don't know what their budget figure is for how much money they spend, but that was 6 to 8% of the action are supposed to be or key in on rather than the domestic market. My question, I guess, is the benefit of the Division of Tourism for that percentage of visitors compared to the money that we stick into ATMC and what EDA does. Do you have a feel for how effective the division is, and whether that should be taken another look at? And if you feel awkward answering the question, I understand.
Okay.
That's why I said I'm going to put you on the spot. I mean, if you don't
want to... It would probably be best to have the division come in and speak to those. I know that the...
I know what they're going to tell me right off, how well they're doing and everything else. That's why I'm kind of getting another feel for it. And we can talk in private at some point.
Okay.
Ma'am?
Yes, Representative Porter.
Maybe I can ask that in another way. With the background that you have in this area from different perspectives, and recognizing what most of our constituents have asked us to do with government, would it not be a likely candidate for consolidation to particularly international marketing, domestic marketing. Yeah, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I think that actually the transition team that the governor had that looked at the commerce area, I'm not sure what exactly what the title of it was, but I believe that that may have been one of the recommendations, actually, that they came forward with.
Son of a gun.
And there may, I think there are some here that participated. I know John Litton participated in that transition team, and you may be able to speak to that. Hand that one up.
And what commitments are, or orally or in writing, has the governor made to ABA with regards to tourism?
Well, most of his commitments were made during the campaign, actually, to the industry, and when he addressed our convention. Now, and there's some question whether a commitment is actually a promise or what. Those two terms of art, but we believe that the governor understands the industry. He's a restaurateur and has been in Anchorage, a small business person. He was on the board of directors of the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's been a member of the Alaska Visitors Association for many years. And he understands the visitor industry. He understands the value of marketing. And so we're enthusiastic that we have somebody who understands that, and hopefully that will translate into an increase in the budget for the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council that will get us at least back to where we were in FY94, so that we can get back in with our image advertising and get out in front of the people when they're making their decisions on where to spend their travel dollars.
On that point, what spaces or gaps in the tourism industry do you see that need attention statewide?
Well, from the marketing standpoint, it's the television advertising. When we made the reduction in the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council budget, we basically cut out the television. There's still a very small amount that's out there, but it's really very, very slight. It would be like you and your campaign being on television once a week and your opponent being on television 10 times a day. It you just don't get your message out there very well. On another side, apart from the funding issues and the marketing issues, one of the greatest challenges that we face in the industry is access to public lands. As you know, a vast majority of Alaska is owned and controlled by state, federal, and local governments. And when you have a growth of the number of visitors coming up to Alaska, and you have a very limited amount of area that you can bring those people into the state and show them, because the rest of it is all closed up to access, pretty soon as those numbers grow, the quality of that vacation to Alaska will start to drop, because you're simply pushing too many people into too small of an area. And for this industry to grow to its potential over the years, we have to have more access into public lands. And we have to be able to maintain the high quality of the visitor experience to Alaska that we've enjoyed for so long, and that gives us such a good reputation throughout the world, really, as a world-class destination. And so our challenge, really, in the next 10 years and 20 years and beyond, is to make sure that there's adequate access into public lands without jeopardizing the quality of that experience into those areas.
Is there any more comments from the committee here? I have another question to ask you. To what degree are AVA policy decisions driven by larger contributors to the state?
Well, at AVA's level, we're an industry organization. Anybody can join the Alaska Visitors Association, and we encourage people to do. We're always out trying to seek more members to our organization. Everybody gets a vote on who gets onto the board of directors of the Alaska Visitors Association. And that's how our organization is run. We have large operators who are represented on our board, and we have very small operators. We have our newest board member is from Tok Junction. He and his family run an RV park in Tok. And we have also some of the representatives from Holland America Lines or Princess Tours who also serve on the board. I consider myself a small business person or family. And there are many other small business people who are represented on the board. So we have a good cross-section. It's the board members are elected by the membership. And the membership is open, and everybody gets a vote. So, but it's usually those people who are willing to take the time and the effort to participate, like any volunteer organization. And we're not paid any salary or receive any compensation. We have to take care of our own travel, donate our time. And it's the people who are willing to contribute the time into the APA that usually are the ones that have the most effect on where the organization goes and what our policies are, because we're willing to put in the time and the effort.
Okay, Representative Bosterman, did you have a question?
Have you hired a new director or executive director?
Yes, we have, and our new executive director is Tina Lindgren, who I'd like to introduce.
And
we're very pleased to have her.
Congratulations.
Tina has worked as a staff member many years, and then was hired by the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council to be their executive director. And then when our executive director left, we were able to entice her to come back to work for the Alaska Visitors Association. So we're pleased to have her.
Yes.
Last year there was quite a price change in advertising on the Destination Alaska. You raised quite a bit of hackles of a lot of the small industry people. Is that still an issue? Has any of that been resolved, or is it just continuing?
It is an issue, and it's a tough one for us. It's a little dilemma for us, really. The legislature over the years has raised the amount that the industry needs to contribute to match the state's portion. It's gone from 15% up to 25%. So as that percentage has increased, our mechanism for raising money within the industry is selling space in the travel planner. It's like a large brochure that goes out to people who are interested in traveling to Alaska. And so we've had to raise the rates, the advertising rates, in that in order to generate the revenue to meet the state mandated match. And it's been a burden on a lot of small businesses. A lot of small businesses don't have a big advertising budget. And this is the only mechanism that they really have to reach a national audience. You can have your own brochure. You can put it on a brochure rack with your local CVB, or you can have a little budget to work around your area to try and get people to come into your business. But there's no way that a small business, even like our business, can go out and have any kind of meaningful exposure on a national level. But that vacation planner allows us to do that. And unfortunately, we've had to raise the rates in that in order to meet the mandate by the state of the percentage of match. Now, one thing that we are planning on doing this year is having a listing. And by the way, former Senator Brad Phillips is with us also here. He's the chairman of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, and he may be able to testify to some of this more accurately than I could and more in depth. But we've established a listing, which, Brad, maybe you can help me on that. Was that?
Three lines, $275.
$275. It's a three-line listing in the vacation planner for $275. And we're hopeful that that will allow a lot of the smaller operators, when we raise the rates, who couldn't afford to advertise anymore, to come back in and advertise and at least get a very small message out about their product.
If the legislature approves the governor's cut pot of $10 million back into ATMC, is that going to drive the rates back down?
Well, it actually won't. I mean, I shouldn't be speaking on behalf of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council, because I'm not even a member of that organization. But the difficulty, the challenge for the industry will then be in raising $2.5 million to match that $7.5 million, which would be from the state's portion. And that's going to be a real challenge. That's going to be a significant challenge. And I don't see the council being able to cut the rates and increase the revenue to meet that match.
Is it going to increase the rates then?
I don't know.
You got a sunshine tomorrow?
I mean, it was a big concern.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And already the rates in the vacation planner are inverse from what they would be in a normal publication. In a normal publication, when you buy an advertisement, the larger your ad is, the cheaper it is per column inch. If you buy a full page, you get a cheaper price than if you buy one eighth of a page ads. And so in the vacation planner, we do it the other way around. If you buy a full page ad, you pay far more per column inch than if you buy one column inch. And that is so that the larger advertisers pay proportionally more than the smaller advertisers. And that was a way to, in effect, subsidize the smaller operators so that they could still afford to get a small amount of space but not have to pay a pro rata share.
Yes, Representative James.
Well, this is interesting the way this conversation is moving. And I'm not sure this is the way we ought to be moving. But I just have a couple comments.
Okay.
You know. And this relates to myself. I have a little seven-room motel. And when it comes time to me determine what I can pay for advertising, it's very small. And the reason that it is very small is because I have to find a direct relationship to that money I've spent on advertising to someone to stay in my place. If I were to spend $270 for three lines in the vacation planner, maybe once every 3 years I'd get another person to stay overnight in my mm-hmm. motel. So that is not a decision I'm going to make.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably those people who are making that decision are not looking at it that seriously. And they are contributing to the overall thing that's going to bring people into the state, and they have to feel some connection to that. And in that whole process, they can't believe it's going to help them, but it's going to help the industry, and by the industry being helped, it's going to be helping them. But for those people that can't afford it, that doesn't even make any difference.
Right.
So just you know, just for the concern that Representative Osterman has represented of people out there who would like to be a part of the vacation planner, a lot of people just can't. And
yeah.
Somebody else has got to carry the ball on that because it just isn't enough money. You know, I don't even have very much in the phone book either, because I don't think a bigger ad in the phone book gets me any more people either.
Mm-hmm.
I've measured who comes and who doesn't come. And so, you know, those are the decisions that small businesses have to make. You could pay everything out in advertising and probably not, you know, where is the balance?
Right.
For the information of the people, I could understand that Representative Osterman's concern, because that's a real spendy thing for not much personal benefit.
But it's an excellent point that you brought up, Representative James, about the fact that $275 goes for more than just the three lines that you get in the vacation planner, that really is the match for the television advertising, the public relations, all the things that really drive more people coming up to Alaska. And they may not see your three-line ad in the vacation planner, but they may be in Alaska because they saw a television ad and that...
meet him, then I'm okay.
Justified.
Is AVA open to ideas this committee will present to explore new direction and techniques and strategies in order to fully benefit all sectors of the visitors' economies?
You bet.
Okay. Well, this is one of our first meetings that we're having to get people to come in and testify, and we're just beginning this process, and we will be reaching out to more agencies statewide, and really appreciate your time and coming in here and sharing it with the committee. And do we have any other questions or comments from the committee members?
I've got one more. In reference to the in-kind versus cash contribution, what percentage basically is cash, like through the, do you know, through the book versus in-kind contribution, or is this all cash matched towards the...
This generates cash.
That does.
It goes towards the entire program. There's a tremendous amount that is raised in products and services that are contributed by the industry to promoting Alaska that we're not recognized for in that 25%.
Okay, it's strictly cash that's recognized for the 25%.
That's correct. But there is a great benefit that comes to the entire state from the industry contributing products and services to get more exposure for everybody in the state. And also the expertise that's brought to the council level, too, on a volunteer basis from many of those, the industry side.
I know that there was some forms that were sent out each year trying to figure out exactly what that percentage is of in-kind compared to the cash, compared to what the state puts in. Do you have those figures? I don't remember.
It's about $3.5 million.
About $3.5 million in-kind.
Okay. Well, if there is no further comments or questions from the committee members, is there anyone else in here that would like to... Yes.
Could I introduce also John Litton, who's... Oh, you introduced yourself earlier, but he's with the Alaska Visitors Association. He's in charge of government relations on our executive committee, so you'll probably be seeing a lot of John down here. He'll help out in any testimony that we have.
Okay.
And Tina Lindgren, who I introduced as our executive director. And also Senator Brad Phillips, the chairman of the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council. And I think everybody else is Dennis Brandon, who is our past president with Westmark Hotels. And Lori Herman, who is our executive secretary, serves on our executive board at the Alaska Visitors Association as well.
Okay.
And you may want to hear from some others, but I appreciate the opportunity to testify before your committee, Madam Chair, and I certainly appreciate your interest in tourism and the impact that it has in the state.
Thank you very much, Mr. Binkley. As I stated before, it's what the state will be leaning toward more in the future, you know, as far as generating revenue. And I know a lot of our tourism is focused on summer mostly, and I really would like to hear more ideas on what AVA does for off summer season as well, going into the winter part activities, since our state have approximately 6 months of winter here. It does carry out pretty long for some of the small business owners in the state who cater to tourism in the winter, and I really would like to hear more on that subject sometimes, and I appreciate you having all of the AVA members here, and thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member people here who would like to share any overview or opinions, comments regarding Alaska tourism?
Madam Chairman,
yes.
I might suggest that sometime you talk to somebody from the Marketing Council. As an example, you just mentioned about the wintertime. We have a fall, winter, spring committee, and we have a budget for promoting wintertime traffic to Alaska. We bring travel writers and tour operators to Alaska in the wintertime and have had tremendous response for the Iditarod, for the for any of the activities in the wintertime, so we are not unaware of that, and we're trying our very best to expand tourism year-round, because that would be better for all of us. It's hell trying to make a living in 100 days, as you probably know, and so we're as anxious as anybody. It's one of the problems we have is a perception. Most people don't think about Alaska as a vacation in the wintertime. I mean, there's a few places that compete with that, like Mexico and Hawaii and Palm Springs and a few places like that. But we're doing our damnedest to get the adventurous person, the person who wants to experience Alaska in the wintertime. I think we're making some real headway on it. Our agency has been really working on that program for the advertising that we do. We put out a special section of our travel planner for winter, which has never been done in the past, in the last 2 years we've been working on that. So maybe we can, before you finish your work here, we'll have an opportunity to lay out what our program is on the Marketing Council, which may be, I hear you have a member of your committee who knows pretty well what it is. He's been very quiet, but he does know it because he served on the Marketing Council. And I think we'd be glad to lay that out for you sometime and give you a little more depth of understanding and maybe a little more confidence in what's happening in the marketing program.
Madam Chair. Well,
thank you very much. For the record, that was Senator Brad Phillips speaking. Yes.
I'm Rod Bradley, Bradley Reed Communications, and speaking to what Brad had said, a year and a half ago we changed some of our television commercials as well and added to the pool of television commercials a fall, winter, spring scenes. Are we in our television commercial? We were running that about one-third of the, I think, of the schedule of television commercials, or one-fourth of the schedule or something, was that commercial showing scenes of fall, winter, spring activities. So we had, you know, some facts and figures, how many tens of millions of impressions of that commercial going out to the public. Of course, it's kind of a moot question right now because with the budget cuts, we don't have any television running. But when we get more money and we have television running, there will be images of fall, winter, and spring of Alaska out there to the vast public.
Well, thank you. And on that point, since you have shown it, is there any impact on the visitors coming into the state during the fall, winter?
Yeah, I think that there is. I think that we're seeing an increase. They're not dramatic numbers because a lot of the problems that we have, and this would be something the fall, winter, spring committee would have to speak to,
yes.
But a lot of the problems we have is an inventory problem, that we didn't have a lot of things to sell in the fall, winter, spring, and more of those. It's kind of like a chicken or the egg. We get a little bit more visitors. We have a few more people who decide to stay open all winter, and then more visitors and more stay open. Then you get an Alyeska resort that builds a nice first-class facility for the winter. So I think you're seeing this come along and will continue to come along as long as we have the marketing going that's going to drive the demand. And what you have to do is drive the demand before people start staying open in the winter and so on. And the only way you're going to drive the demand is to get the television commercials going, and that way you need more budget. And here we are back at budget.
Back to the budget, yes. That we have to learn how to do more for the dollar these days.
The dollar.
Yes. Representative James.
Yes, thank you. On that point, I guess I can't let this go without at least getting my two bits worth out, and that even though I am very open and supportive of winter time tourism activities in the state, I like to remind people that our highways are very dangerous in the winter, and that people who have rented cars and so forth that drive on our roads and are not familiar with the kinds of icing conditions that we have, I'm extremely extremely concerned about the Parks Highway as an example, because it's a great part of my district, the people that come to Mount Denali, and the serious accidents that we have on that highway, traveling with the truck traffic and everything. And so I just want to keep reminding everyone that while we're planning on winter tourism, let's be sure that we have some way for these people to get around and make it safe for our public, our population, and also safe for those tourists.
Well, on that point, Representative James, I live near Anchorage area, and when we do get the snowfall, you have numbers of accidents, as Representative Porter may well know, serving on the police department, and how we can tell when new people are coming to the state who don't understand how to drive, but then again, we have many Alaskans who also have the same problem. But I'd like to just share a few things from my own perspective as I've traveled over to Europe many times, and I know we focus a lot on the Orient for people coming to Alaska to visit, but we do have, there's a great interest in Europe for Europeans to come to Alaska, and I made many trips myself personally and for my own personal expense, and I traveled to many big tourism trade shows, and I went to one in Italy, and they had 9 football stadiums that were full from people all over the world, and I was there in the U.S. Booth, and during one day we had over 300,000 people coming through, and when I talked about Alaska, they were very very interested in learning more, but they said it's so cold that they cannot come to Alaska in the winter, and they're even afraid to come during the summer because they think people live in igloos up here all year round. And I think that's a turn that we must try to work on, because the European customers are very, they're traveling and they do have the money to come to Alaska, and I think we can offer them more year-round, which many of the small business owners here really can rely on and use, not just for 3 months of the year, but try to make it a 12-month plan for a vacation. And those are just some of the details that has been going through my mind for a long time, and I think we really do need to do more in the European side. So, yes, Representative Porter.
Kind of as a wrap-up statement, don't give up any idea that has any kind of merit. We've mentioned that Palm Springs has got such a natural environment that can induce people there that we can't compete with. Well, one of the things that Palm Springs uses to draw people to Palm Springs, albeit a certain small segment, is dog racing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mushing. 20 minutes and out of Palm Springs, up a tram, they have dog mushing and a ride on a dog sled. So maybe we should induce people up here to get a suntan at Lake Spinard.
Oh, yes.
If I could just make Dennis Brandon with Westmark Hotels, I served on the Denali Task Force, which was a task force put together by the National Park Service to take a look at access issues or issues surrounding Denali. And out of 14 day-long meetings came a report that addressed, in part, access today, also some of the problems that exist because of the single road going into this magnanimous area that we call Mount McKinley, or Denali. Part of the recommendation was to look at, in the long term, look at a potential new venue, which would be the Tokasitna region or South Denali area to develop, because it was noticed by the entire committee that we do have a real problem with access into the park. That's only going to compound itself over years if we don't look at not only Denali but other areas in terms of infrastructure development and basically a strategic planning process that's going to incorporate more product for people who come to visit Alaska to enable them to use. Some of the recommendations that came out of the report were favorable. The access issue itself was not dealt with to the degree that met with what would be the National Park Service Board feeling of the feeling was that we didn't deal with the access issue in depth as much as they would have liked to have seen. So they did amend and offer an amendment to the report itself to look at favorably a northern route access into the park, which was adopted by the National Park Service Board. And I went back to Washington to testify in favor of looking at that access. It is a twofold problem, as Rod had indicated too, the product, the chicken and the egg. We, in combination with, I think, promoting the state, we need to look at the infrastructure development of the state and encourage whatever we can to work with department, working with department, divisions working with divisions, to look at what would be proactive development in this tourism industry to make certain that that infrastructure really does suit the long-term need for this
for this growth that we're anticipating. So I thought it might be at least worthwhile to look at that in your planning as well as the marketing planning.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you brought that forth to the committee. I know it came up the year before when we had some people contesting to going and driving into Mount McKinley or the Denali area. And I really would like to encourage you to share some of the information with the committee members on your trips and updates as to the access problem. Yes, right.
Yeah, on that point, and I was glad that you brought that up because I've been a real strong supporter of the Kent Fishner Group and their rail and the northern access that's going in there. And as I understand it, currently they're having some success in Washington, D.C. to get the attention of the National Park Service to be able to get access through that for the rail. And the interesting thing about that rail access is it would be all funded with private funds. So it wouldn't be anything we'd have to do, and certainly give us twice as much access as we have to a park that is totally inundated with people that don't always go away with a good experience. And so I think that if we're going to keep tourism coming to our state, we do need to be sure that those tourists come here and go home happy, and we can't do that right now. So any kind of support that even we can get out from people in this room and or people in this committee to support that issue of that additional access into there, or anyone that has any questions about it, I'd be happy to provide them with the information regarding that light rail that would be putting in there.
Yeah, and there was also one recommendation that did get carried forward, which was a road improvement into Teklanika, which is would be an extension of the natural history tour by about another 11, 12 miles, which could be done immediately. And that one could very well move forward rapidly with support from the state. So it would be, I do have a full report that I could make available to each and every one of you if you'd like, outlining not only the recommendations but the amendments that included the recommendation for that Northern Access to. So.
That would be really great. I would appreciate it if you can share it with our committee. Is there any further comments from other agencies here?
Madam Chair, could I also make one other introduction? I know she introduced herself as we were going around the room, but Linda Anderson is also doing the lobbying work for the Alaska Visitors Association as well as Sam Keto. And they're two individuals that you can rely on or call on if none of us are around to get information about the association or the industry or what's going on. And we're very pleased to have Linda join us this year to help in the lobbying effort. They have a small business as well, and we're glad to see them help out.
Thank you very much, Mr. Binkley. Well, hearing no other comments or suggestions, any of the representatives here, any closing comments you'd like to share? If not, without any objection, then this meeting is adjourned at 4:10. Thank you very much for your time and sharing the information with the committee. And we'll be keeping you up to date on further committee meetings.
Thanks.
It's great to have all these people.